Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I want to make an announcement right now. If anybody comes in this room when we start, if you're not in the room 15 minutes before, I have problems getting back in. Whoever teaches, wherever you're at, please get in the room 15 minutes before time. I have a lot going on. I'm trying to get in this room. I'm already in the room. I have to get out and call you. I'm not calling anybody else at all to remind you. If you can't get in the room, I'll call you and do the teaching myself. Not just Brother Paul, just nobody. Get in the room.
Okay.
It's hard for me to get back in this room, man. It's very difficult.
Okay.
When y'all don't get on time, I got to call you, remind you, and drag you in the room. I'm not doing that no more. Please be in the room on time. I got too much at stake. I'm tired. I'm not mad at nobody. Just be in the room. If you got to teach whatever, Paul, you, anybody, I don't care who it is. Is that okay?
Sure, man.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Hey, I don't care who y'all are. Just come in the room 15 minutes before time. I can't call you and babysit you and drag you in. I got too much at my stake. Too much. I got a lot going on. Now, first thing I want to say about this lawsuit, I have a lawyer. He told me that I have a case. He will get me back on air. Live deliverance will be back on air. I had to go to see him today. I did a teaching out of video conference from Zoom at the University of Georgia on demonology. I got a word from the Lord about America. I got a message for American Christians. I do not care whether you're black, white, purple, or pink. I am not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm independent. But it's the truth. And we have a problem in America. The Lord has put something in my heart. I'm going to share about that. I did an exorcism yesterday with a Satanist. And I have the video. I mean, not the video. I had the audio. And I would like for you to hear these growlings, if you can make note of what it is. It lasted 6.5 hours. This went on for hours and hours and hours and hours, for 6 straight hours. We have a testimony for Brother Rodriguez Baker. Brother Paul is going to teach tonight. But I want to say this here, and the Lord put this in my heart to speak it, and I don't want anybody calling me. I don't care who you are. I do not need any feedback. I'm going to say what I got to say. God, I test the spirit 4 or 5 times over and over and over and over and over. I, Jesus, come in the flesh. I, Jesus, come in the flesh. All day I'm going to obey God. We have a problem in America. When political Americans, another American's calling another American a name, another American from Colorado is calling this black woman from Ethiopia a terrorist. She's from Colorado. This is a representative, House of Representatives, talking bad to another House of Representatives. When people are in public office, they have to serve the public, not to down another American. And God is tired of, the Lord is telling me that he's tired of the sin in America. The bigotry, the hate, the racism. the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, he's sick of all of it because none of it going to do you no good. It's a bunch of mess. And all it's doing is destroying and separating Christians. That's all it's doing. God's word is supposed to be before any political party. I don't care who you are. And when any of you call yourself voting, go pray and get on a fast. Don't vote your conscience anymore. Vote what the Lord tell you to vote. And I guarantee you, if you can hear God, you'll be surprised what he'll tell you. So we need to pray for this country because it's under attack. You have another congressman, Margaret Taylor Greene, running around threatening Oak Terrace. Because this is high school stuff. These are congressmen with this bigotry. And it comes from Donald Trump. It comes from the Republicans. It comes from the Democrats. Joe Biden, all of them, these are unsaved people. He's a Catholic. He ain't born again. He ain't confessed Jesus, confessed religion. You people caught up in it, you're going to get caught up in it. It's going to take your, move your peace from you. It's going to get you angry. It's going to have you to have your little ideology, your little two-cent of what you believe, ain't nothing because your righteousness ain't nothing but filthy rags. All of our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. God is sick and tired of America. It won't repent. It is racist. Black on black crime. Black people killing black people. That's Rodriguez calling. That's not my calling. He knows it because he's in a different era. And if God moves on him to share his points, because he's seen what I didn't come through his era. I'm a different generation. We were Jim Crow generation, 1961. He was born in the early, I was born before him. So the movement has changed. It's still a struggle for anybody. This is evil, pure evil in the midst of Americans. Do you hear any of these faith ministers talking about against this injustice? No. And by the way, they're going to sue. I'm suing YouTube for racial discrimination. I was the only African-American they took off. That's what's found out with my attorney today. The only one they banned and didn't even give me the right to file my claim because I taught that Jesus is not white. I found out where that comes from. So it's a whole lot of stuff that God is helping me through this attorney to get me back, and I will be back on YouTube. It's a social media platform. God told me, I don't care what it is, I want the gospel out before I come. And we got some serious issues in America. Y'all need to pray for y'all country because I have two citizenship. I don't live here. And I want to respond to people who have been emailing me why I live in Jamaica. I don't like racism. That's why I left. Let me say this again. I, Pastor Emmett Overton, Apostle Emmett Overton, do not like racism. That's why I left. So everybody heard that. Stop calling me, ask me why I left. God got me there. I'm happy there. Do I like America? No, I don't. Do I live here? No, temporarily. I do not live here. It's never going to change. The root is too deep. It started with Masons. It's going to end with destruction. And you need to pray for your family in this country. If you like good credit, you like houses, you like things, materialistic things, you're in the right country. You're going to work from sunup to sundown. Until you get 65, you're going to croak and you're going to die and leave everything with somebody else, and it's going to keep going. That's America. It's wicked. It's founded on wickedness with Masons. It had slavery. No one ever repented. God's tired of all of this mess. Politics is not the answer. And Christians getting caught up in this. God is sick of it. He said, come out from among them. God is sick and tired of people's double-mindedness, wavering, in and out, back with Jesus, back with Joe Biden, back with Jesus, back with Donald Trump, back with Jesus, back with the Independent Party. He's going to spit you out of his mouth, Revelation 3:15. God is looking for warriors. There's a lot of evil out here. Anybody want to help me? You can call me at 678-701-3733. You want to learn to do exorcism? I'll train you. I got plenty of work for any of you. If you're bored and you ain't got nothing to do, give me a call. I will put you to work. I'll give you a 6 weeks class, and I'll have you casting out demons. And I can throw 150 of them for you every day. I need help. I ask your prayers. I ask you to be patient with me. I'm dealing with eight things at the same time. I got to go back to deal with a Satanist tomorrow. And believe me, there was pastors in that room that didn't even know the Holy Ghost, and them demons called the pastor out and told the assistant pastor who he was sleeping with, which was his secretary, and both of them got divorced today. And that happened 3 days ago. I can't give the name of the church. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all black people, y'all white people, y'all blue people, I don't care who you are. Color don't mean nothing to me. If you say that Jesus is the Son of God in your life, you better be praying with everything you do between now until you die, because you're going to need it. If you can't hear the power of the Spirit of God in these last days, you're going to be thrown off. And there are so much lies, 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 lies that come on the TV channel, on both channels. Doesn't matter. Propaganda, Fox News, liberalism, CNN, all of the world, and to make money, and they care nothing about you. Stop trying to connect yourself with these associations and connect yourself with Jesus of Nazareth. Y'all better start getting serious. It's going to get worse. The Lord told me it's going to get worse. And the only people who are going to be able to survive are those who can hear the voice of God. Start learning how to hear the Lord. Stop getting into politics. Jesus never got into politics. I don't like politicians. I don't like prosperity members. I don't like anything that's not of the Word of God. I don't like it. And we got a problem in America where you can take an AR-15 and people can raise funds for this so-called young man, and he's not guilty, and blow off somebody's arm. We have an insurrection. All of this going on, and the devil's working everything. And the Lord's telling me I'm tired. So every night when I get on this air until I die, God told me to tell people he's tired of this sin, tired of your double-minded. He's tired of your wavering in and out. One day you're with the Lord. Next day you're not with the Lord. One day you're with, hey, look, either get in or get out. Because what God needs is soldiers. He don't need nobody sitting back on no couch watching TV and relaxed. Anybody can do that. God needs soldiers. God needs men who will stand up against any unrighteousness and any sin. Stay in your word. Protect your family. Know who God is, and please learn how to hear his voice. Because God showed me a vision. I don't get a lot of visions. And I tested the spirit. I saw this thing, and I saw tribulation. I saw people in the Holy Spirit telling people where to go get food at. I saw people couldn't even get in lines because of the mark of beast. I saw it. And I don't care if you call me crazy. I don't care. I know what I saw. We are in the serious last days. And, hey, stop thinking that everything's okay. Satan is at the door of everyone's home. I get child molestation cases every day on this radio station. I get men beating their wives, born-again Christians, so-called spirit-filled men, beating their wives. Me and Chaplain John Durden. Chaplain Durden, can you hear me?
Yes.
What do the pastors be telling us? I want everybody to hear this to show you how wicked in society. Now, Pastor Durden is 81 years of age. He won't get on here and lie. I want him to tell everybody all worldwide what have we been doing in the persecution that we both getting that y'all don't even hear. This is why you got to pray. Let it out, Brother John.
They call us and threaten us, talk about they don't like what we're teaching with respect to hearing the voice of God. I tell them we have this written word. You don't need to hear his voice. They don't believe in tongues. They don't believe in miracles or nothing. And then they're going to teach us a lesson. We have gotten over numerous threats. Some of they're going to come and they're going to ball jack us to shut us up. And I say, going to ball jack us. I say, what is ball jack? They tell me, ball jack me, we coming, we going to bust your buttholes. We going to make faggots out of y'all, and we going to drag y'all back to our hometown and make hoes and bitches out of y'all. That's what they said. They threaten us. We get calls like that three or four times a day, every day. And they're supposed to be triple crown, this and quadruple crown, this and this crown, that. But they call us up and threaten us and talking about they're going to make whole bitches out of us. And then when they look at me, tell me, you old goat, you're going to be one out of prime. We're going to put you out in the street and hold your butt. All these things. And so help me. Over, I don't know, we get calls like this, 8, 9, 10, 12. Not from just worldly people, but the majority of them say 7 out of 10 are so-called people in the ministry. Not trying
to
put it down. But, man, it's something else. You know what? If I wasn't a part of this, I would never believe it. We get threats every day. Some of they gonna come down here and gonna rape us. And if they like what they rape, they gonna tie us up and take us back to their city and put us in some motel, hotel, secret place, some barn, and prostitute us. So help me. These are not just regular people. These are people in the ministry, which I can't believe. Make me want to almost turn my back on biblical standards. So help me God. And may he strike me down dead right now. All the threats that we have gotten are from ministers. Ministers, y'all. Ministers. Talking about they're going to come and screw us in our ass. And some are going to come down here they come in and put dress on us, and put lipstick on us, and they'll act us mess.
We get it
and
every day.
Other,
see, we get it every day.
And then some of them get this every day
for 2 years.
And before we come on, they talk about you better know what you're talking about. I'm monitoring you. I'm monitoring. Pride jumps in. I'm monitoring you like we're supposed to be scared. And then a lot of them lie. I got a doctor. I got 3 doctors agreed. You better watch what you're saying. We get this every stinking day, every day. Man, if I didn't have the kind of grandmama I had, I would have told Christianity to go jump in a lake somewhere. Because everybody, so help me. We get 5, 10, 15 calls every day. Talk about they don't like what we teaching. There ain't no Holy Spirit. You'd be surprised. A lot of ministers call us and tell me they don't believe in no Holy Spirit. We have his written word. We don't need to hear God. We have his written word. And I said, well, why don't you do it? That's all we held. We have his written word. Ain't no more tongues. Ain't no more healing. We have his written word. We have his written word. And that's all they say. But they can walk around there and tell him I got a diamond on every finger. That's all we hear every night. Just before they have and have 200 armor bearers on one side of him and another 100 armor bearers on the other side of him, escorting him down the doggone aisle. Now, what the heck is that? You're supposed to be a man of God. You got 50 to 100 armor bearers on one side of you and other with gowns and crosses
and
diamonds on every
ring. I appreciate him saying that because we have a time difference. I want to say this also to my Jamaican audience. I got 600 people from Jamaica email and asked me, why am I not with Apostle Andrew J. Scott? I will tell you why. I was with Apostle Andrew Scott for 14 years. I put him on air, didn't charge him. But anytime a pastor tells me that he has a code, send in $190, and I'll give you 3 scriptures for the code of covert 19. I am not putting nobody on my radio station that do that. I took him off. That's right. I lost $700 a month. So what? The word to me is more than money. I took him off. The word of God is not for profit. And he's gone. He's gone. I'm about the word of God. Don't come to me with no politics. I don't like politics. I'm sick of it. Christianity has been mixed with it. We have some problems in America. I wanted to say that because y'all ought to know what me and Brother John go through. Every night. Don't I call you, Brother John? You can hear the conversation.
Every night.
Every night. So that's persecution. That's where we at. All right, we got that out the way. Pastor Paul going to teach, but Pastor Rodriguez Baker have a testimony. He has the mic. After that, we're going to give it to Brother Paul. He's teaching tonight. After that, I will be on air at 10:30 tonight on Facebook. If anybody hearing me, please sow a seed to this ministry. I ain't never asked anybody for no money, but I need you guys, anybody, whoever hear me, to sow a seed. We have a $1,500 retainer fee, and I'm working on getting that now. I have a lawyer. We got a lot going on. I'm going to be doing this telethon until I get this money. I am going to go get 2 to 3 hours of sleep, and I'm going to get right back up and do what I got to do. I do it as unto the Lord. So please, anybody who's hearing me, go to livedeliverance.com. We need this income for this lawyer expenses fees. We still have to pay our legal fees. We have to pay these bills at this radio station. I lost 2/3 of my audience, half of my income because of YouTube. All right. Brother Rodriguez, you have a testimony.
Yes, sir. Yes, I wanted to jump in as quick as possible. I just wanted to share with you guys to just show how powerful word and knowledge is. Word and knowledge is real. The gifts of the Holy Spirit is real. I just want to say that I remember my pastor Ender called me like 6 months ago and told me, he called me out of nowhere and said, we're going to have word of knowledge. You know, how I know he's adamant about his word of knowledge because he said, man, Rodriguez, you know, I ain't going to lie to the Holy Spirit. I put my hand on the Bible. He's very adamant. So he calls me like 6 months ago and tells me, Rodriguez, the Lord told me to tell you you're going to have a son to name him Joshua. Name him Joshua. Because I have three girls. So I always wanted a son. I have three girls. So he called me out of nowhere and said, you're going to have a son and to name him Joshua. So I said, okay. So right after he told me that, like 2 weeks later, we found out that my wife was pregnant. So he just kept telling me, like, you're going to have a son. You're going to have a son. I'm telling you, I know what the Holy Ghost told me. So, you know, of course, and I believe with faith, of course things going to come to your mind, you know, because, you know, I got three girls, you know, back to back, you know. So to make a long story short, to acknowledge and show you guys how real the word of knowledge is, me and my wife went to the doctor today, and we found out that we are having a son today.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you for the confirmation. Yes, Lord. Jesus of Nazareth, first century. Life deliverance is first century.
Yep. And the first thing when they showed me that on his ultrasound, the first thing I screamed was Jesus of Nazareth. Not because of just being excited to have a son, but just I'm just so in awe and so grateful how faithful God is and how much he loves us and he gives us the desires of our hearts just according to his will. Mm-hmm. And I'm just grateful for the Lord, and it just confirmed to me that me and my family, we're in his hands. Mm-hmm. We are in his hands. So I encourage you guys, just continue to seek God. Seek God and seek him with the right motives. And God will give you the desires of your heart, you know. And it's to piggyback on what Pastor was saying, you know, we can't get mixed up as Christians and believers with politics and all that stuff. We got to stay firm in the word of God because this stuff is of the world. So I just want to confirm that, you know, the word of knowledge is real. And it just built my faith to really just seek God more and more because the scripture says desire the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And that's what I desire. I desire that for the kingdom of God. So like I said, the first thing I screamed when they said it's a boy, I said, Jesus of Nazareth, son of the doctor. And then I said, Jesus of Nazareth, son of the doctor. And my wife, she was just so thankful. She was crying out of joy. And like I said, I've been in joy all day because of just, I'm just so grateful for God, you know, through my good times and bad times, you know. I'm just so thankful to God, and it just made me want to just stay with him forever. And you know, especially what's going on today.
That's the confirmation.
Yes, sir.
Do you know the word of knowledge I had for you today when I called you? I said, word of knowledge. You remember I called you today?
Yep. Yep.
You know what I was going to tell you?
No, I didn't get a chance to talk to you, so I'm sure you got to tell
what
me.
What you were saying,
you
the word of knowledge I was going to tell you, your autogram says boy. I was going to say that, but you said it before I said it. I had called you today. I said, word of knowledge. You never called me back.
Wow. Wow.
And I said that when I was in Jamaica, Rodriguez, you was going to have a boy.
Yep. You told me that before we even found out she was pregnant. You told me.
The Lord
told
me.
The boy.
Yeah. How long you been under this ministry, Rodriguez?
About 11 years now.
Have I had any word of knowledge that not came to pass?
Nope, not at all. Every word of knowledge you've ever given me has all come to pass. And you
That's
taught me how
record.
To test the spirit.
That's
me
right.
How to test
and
the
I
spirit.
Taught you and I taught you not to look up to me, to look up to Jesus.
Look to Jesus, absolutely.
So team out. That's a very, very I need to tell you I want to be the godfather now. He going Navy SEAL. He's going SEAL.
Hey, whatever you do, I want him to do it unto the Lord. That's my own prayer.
Amen. I'm happy for you, Robert. I knew it was going to happen. The Lord, I wanted to call you today, and the Lord told me to tell you how was. I said he ain't called me. And then I had a call to do another exorcism, and I had to leave. That's a blessing.
Wow.
That confirms what the Lord told me months ago, Rodriguez. I said that long time ago.
6 months ago, before we even found out she was pregnant.
That's right. Now, see, a lot of these pastors don't have word knowledge like they hit it. This is how they do it. I see $17,000. You're going to get it. Next, come on up. Don't give you no time to win. And it never comes to pass. That's
another
Jesus. Amen.
And that's
a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All glory
Amen.
To God.
That's
Amen.
Amen. I'm so happy. I'm so happy for you, brother. All right. I'm so happy. God bless you, man. Okay, Brother Paul, you got 1 hour and 32 minutes. We're going to give this over to Brother Chris Paul, a good deliverance minister, brother here on staff with me, helping me out. I'm going to turn this over to Brother Paul. While he's doing that, I have to do a deliverance. I will be in the room, but I'll be on another line, you know, doing a deliverance out of South Africa with some assistance of another minister. So we're going to turn this over to Brother Chris Paul. You got the mic.
Praise Jesus. Wow. Wow. I just want to say one thing about Word of Knowledge and Emmett. I had the honor, really, of living with Emmett for a couple of weeks. And we would go to the store, and he'd get words of knowledge, and he'd give them to people, and most people would reject them. I remember one lady, when Emmett used to have a church, he gave her word of knowledge about her, I think it was her cancer, how to get her cancer cured, and she rejected it. It is amazing to me the amount of people that he gave words of knowledge to that most of them rejected it or, you know, didn't do anything with it. To me, that's rejecting it. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. The word from the throne room and you're rejecting it, that's got to be one of the dumbest things a person could do in their entire life. Anyway, I want to say welcome to Loud Deliverance. And Emmett is really under attack. He needs donations. If anybody, I don't think I've ever done this before, but anyway, donate to this man. He is a warrior for the Lord, and it's a normal person couldn't handle what he handles. And these pastors calling him and all this kind of stuff, it's just the devil, and he needs money. Yes, he could use your prayer, but he needs money. All right, Lord, we come to you through your son, Jesus Christ, and we just ask the Holy Spirit to reign, rule, and speak. As always, I want to give a couple of foundational scriptures, and this is really for beginning deliverance, people, beginning deliverance. Mark 16:17, I remember when I got this in my heart or, well, I don't know, soul, whatever. Jesus Christ speaking, the person, Jesus Christ will judge you. That's John 5:22. Jesus Christ said, those who follow me cast out demons and speak in new tongues. How much clearer should he have gotten? And it's amazing the amount of clueless Christians that really love the Lord that buy into this garbage that a Christian can't have demons. Total nonsense, total lie. And the pastors that are shepherding this church, they're going to give a account on the judgment. That's James 3:1. So anyway, I just want to talk about, I'm assuming people are new to this. If you're not really new, if you're a veteran to deliverance, this may not be the place for you tonight, but I want to give you just some basics to get going. It talks in James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And a lot of people in the church, especially the church I used to go to, a large church, oh, brother, I resist the devil. He doesn't bother me and I don't bother him. Well, that is good you resist him, but that's not the same as cast out. Resist is something from the outside. If you're walking, you know, by the donut shop and there's a donut there and you like donuts and you know you shouldn't be eating donuts, you resist it. So that's from the outside. But when Jesus said in Mark 16:17, you cast out demons, that's from inside you, you cast them out. And anything you're going to do, you start on yourself. If you're going to teach somebody how to be a good auto mechanic, you become a good auto mechanic. If you want to teach somebody how to knit, you become a good knitter. So you start on yourself. Some basic tools for the beginning deliverance person would be just a classic book that it's out of print now, but you can get them used. It's Pigs in the Parlor, John Eckhart. Pigs in the Parlor, John and Ida Mae Eckhart. Another book, I got it right here on my table. I got duct tape on it, is Prayers That Rout Demons. No, wait a second. Pigs in the Parlor, Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. Pigs in the Parlor, Frank and Ida Mae Hammond. The other book I have is John Eckhart, Prayers That Rout Demons. If you had nothing else in the Bible, that would be really all you need. But just from when I started, I've been under Emmett for probably, Brother Emmett, for probably, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years. I'm not even sure. But when I first started out, very little information was on the internet, very little information. And now there's a good group on Facebook. I think these people are out of Africa. I'm not really sure where they're out of, but these are hardcore people. And I think it's called realdeliverance.com. Let me get them real fast here. I thought I had this pulled up. I believe it's realdeliverance.com. Okay, I'll get it for you, man. I don't want to go off on that. But there's good groups on Facebook now that help each other with deliverance. So that's something else that you can use to get going. And there's all kinds of questions that are asked and answered, and it's really kind of amazing what they cover. I mean, just from a few years ago, it's really awesome. So, okay, I think what I'm going to do is just start off with some basic deliverance. People go, well, Brother Paul, you know, this is all fine, but I don't know how to do deliverance. You know, what are you talking about? Okay, it's called Deliverance Training. It's on Facebook. Just put in Deliverance Training in your Facebook group, and they have chat sessions. They have all kinds of resources, really good stuff. Deliverance Training, I think they're out of Africa, but it's completely free. Anyway, if you're new to deliverance, how do you start in deliverance? Okay, well, like if you want to control your anger, you have an anger problem. Lots of people do. I used to have an anger problem, but you say, spirit of anger, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits causing anger, come out in Jesus' name. Congratulations, you're now a deliverance minister. 90 to 95%, maybe 99% of the deliverance that I do, that I have done, I do it on myself. Brother Emmett, Sister D, all deliverance ministers are so, so overwhelmed. Do not wait for them. You start on yourself. There's all kinds of resources on the internet. Just put in deliverance prayers, put in self-deliverance, or you know, put in spiritual warfare, and just start. And you'll have, you know, all kinds of information that you can get going on. So don't wait for an opening with Brother Emmett. I know I don't speak for him. I don't know if he even takes people anymore. I don't know about that. Don't wait for it. You start. You get serious on yourself. Okay, another foundational scripture here is Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Now, I really don't like the way it says. I'm going to read the King James here. Give me just a minute. Where's King James? But any spiritual warrior knows Ephesians 6. Okay, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there you have the four basic categories. Demons are very, very well organized. Wynne Worley goes into this a lot. Wynne Worley is for more of an intermediate or an advanced deliverance person. I would not recommend it for a beginner. After you get 6 months, a year under your belt, Then start doing stuff with Wynne Worley. Then listen to his teachings, but he's extremely advanced. So Ephesians 6:12, our wrestle is not against the person. We see a person. I've seen demonized people before, but I can pretty much spot it. But don't look at the person. Look what's inside the person. So I'm going to read that again, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a very, very famous scripture among all deliverance ministers. Put it in your memory banks and pray it daily. Another one, Ephesians 6:18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Let me read this. Pray always with all spirit and supplication in your mind. Ephesians 6:18. Now, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching therefore unto all perseverance and the supplication for all saints. So you pray in the Spirit, not in your mind. Put your mind away. Operate in the Spirit. Learn how to speak in tongues. Learn how to operate in the Spirit. If you need the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, I can help you. There's lots of people on the internet that can help you. Don't be mystified by it. It's not going to make you weird. You're not going to speak in tongues at the checkout counter, wherever. You're not going to do it without your own prompting. So you have to make yourself speak in tongues. The enemy will come against you every which way to make you stop speaking in tongues. So it doesn't make you weird. It doesn't make you unable to control your tongue. You have to do it. I do it in private. I rarely ever do it in public. I do it in public sometimes, but I look very cautiously at anyone interpreting my tongues. So do it just alone. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it around other people. Okay. So the other scripture I want to talk about a little bit about here is 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I'm going to read an English Standard Version. You know, be free to look in King James if you want. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but have a divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey God. So here again, Paul's talking about, you know, yes, we walk in the flesh. We have a fleshly body. We have a skin and bones and all that. But we're not waging a war against the flesh. Our weapons, our warfare are not the flesh, but a divine power to break the stronghold. So use your weapons of spiritual warfare. Don't use your mind. Sometimes you may have to stop and let your spirit catch up with your mind, or let your spirit take over from your mind. I've been guilty of that too. So anyway, that's another scripture of Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, this scripture, I don't know that if I would take that to Leviathan, because in Job 41, it talks about not taking on Leviathan yourself. When I cast out Leviathan, I let the Holy Spirit do it. I say, Holy Spirit, fire, burn down deep in my soul, burn down everything everything in common with Leviathan. And I saw in the Spirit being delivered of Leviathan. Leviathan is a huge, ugly, nasty serpent. And the Spirit, that's what the Spirit did for me. So another thing I want to encourage beginners to do is, you know, the Holy Spirit who knows everything, John 14:26, I want you to engage the Holy Spirit in your warfare as well. I've used this many times. Holy Spirit, fire, burn down deep in my soul, burn down everything in common with serpents, scorpions, Leviathan. And it's worked quite well for me. The Holy Spirit is your helper. John 14:26, King James. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatever I have said to you. Put the Holy Spirit in action. Another good prayer to pray is in the morning. It doesn't have to be in the morning, but I usually pray in the morning. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me, teach me, help me. And I'm just asked through the day, I say, Holy Spirit, help. I need help. So the Holy Spirit is there to help, but you've got to put him into action. He doesn't just jump in, okay? You have to put him in action. It's sort of like angels. You can have angels put into action for you, but you have to command them, and you have to be, you know, you have to be not sinning and casting out and you know, living correctly. That's, you know, angels is not what we're talking about. That's another study. There's a man named Charles Capps who's written a number of books about angels. There's a lot of other people that have written about angels. All I know is about Charles Capps. So anyway, keep going here. Deuteronomy 28:7, jumping back in the Old Testament here. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated. They shall come out against you one way and flee seven ways. You have the victory if you stay in the battle. I've battled things for now going on 10 years that I'm still battling, and I'll continue to battle until, you know, I'm either in glory or I have the victory. So, you know, what if Brother Emmett gave up? What if when they struck his channel from YouTube, he just said, well, you know, guess I'm not supposed to have a channel. No. First of all, you don't know Brother Emmett. But second of all, you can't have that attitude. We are in a war. We are in a battle. And Derek Prince, who's another person I would highly recommend for beginners, he talks about the battle as being a wrestling match where you're, you know, face-to-face, toe-to-toe, eye-to-eye, breath-to-breath with these things. Now, I've seen a few, and I've battled a few, but I've never smelled their breath. I have had a demon talk to me. That's another story perhaps for another time. So I want to encourage people, just keep going. 1 John 5:4-5, that's 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So that means you have to overcome something. Just when you became a Christian, you didn't automatically overcome the world. You must overcome something. So this speaks of a process, a work. And I hate to break it to most new Christians, maybe not the people on this channel, you only getting in heaven by work. This thing, you don't need to do works, that's nonsense, man. I have scripture, put work or works in your Bible search sometime, and you'll see how many times Jesus talks about works. John 14:21, am I right on this? Help me, Lord. Yeah, this is Jesus speaking. He who hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that love shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that's a work. You must do works. Real biblical Christianity, deliverance, spiritual warfare. You're working, man. You're working. And will you make mistakes? Yeah. Will you get weary? Yeah. But you keep going. You do not give up. You give up, the enemy wins. Well, he wins temporarily if you keep giving up. You can come back after a backslide, but the enemy then has the upper hand. Okay. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is fashioned against me shall succeed, and you shall confute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the vindication for me, declares the Lord. What the scripture is saying is, once again, you have weapons that are fashioned against you personally. And tongues, the accuser, Satan is in heaven, is confusing you. He gets access on a limited basis in front of God to accuse you. So you have to come against this. You have to speak against the judgment. You have to speak against Satan. I don't have that scripture in front of me where he gets access to have limited access to the third heaven, but probably Brother John or somebody else has it, and if you really need it, I can find it later. I want to just, you know, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, Jesus is the truth. And what did Jesus do one-third of the time in his ministry? He cast out. And casting out demons is very closely related to healing, although it's not exactly the same. So this is a witness. When you cast demons out of somebody and you set them free, you're done for the glory of God. This is talking about, this is John 11, I'll start in John 11, 1 through 4. Now certain, this is Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, his sister Martha. Mary was the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her hair, and her brother was sick. Therefore, they went to him saying, Lord, he who loves us is sick. And Jesus said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So when you deliver somebody, when you speak healing into somebody and they're healed, this is glorifying Jesus. This is glorifying the Lord. There's a reward for this. It's not just a task that you have to do. There's a reward. There's also another reward in Luke 10:20. Let's back up 10:19. Behold, is Jesus speaking, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you have the power, Jesus gave it, but you have to use the power. You have to put the power into action. So drop down to Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather, don't miss this, because your names are written in heaven. So when you cast out, you might not even feel anything, see anything, sense anything, but your name is written in heaven. So there's reward for this. It's not just all drudgery and going toe-to-toe with the enemy, although that's definitely part of it. Okay, 1 John 5:4, another thing where we have to do a work. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Okay, overcome is a work. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So all through the Bible, put in a Bible search program. I have Bible CD. You can use Bible Hub. There's lots of them on the internet. Put in work and works. You'll see time after time after time. Jesus knew their works. He talked about their work. He expects you to do their works. This greasy grace Christianity where you just go and listen to Reverend Lovejoy for 20 minutes and, you know, forget what he says when you walk out of there, you're not doing what Jesus told you. And I'm not sure you're saved. I don't know. That's not for me to decide. This is probably what I should have started with, a foundational scripture, but John 10:10, very well known to most deliverance ministers. The thief, meaning the enemy, means not Satan himself, but Satan's demons. Most people, you're not important enough for Satan himself, but Satan's workmen. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Don't miss this. The thief comes to kill you. And I think I've successfully got that in my 10-year-old's head. He's a little demon caster outer. And he cast out demons at 8 and spoke healing at 8 years old. And he's 10 now. So he understands, because he's had quite a bit come against him in his young years, because he comes against the enemy. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war against the flesh. So once again, it goes back to the person's not the physical bag of bones is not the problem. It's the spirit's operating the person. And you got to have discernment, and you got to have patience with people. And I'm asking God for more of that all the time. James 2:19, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. You know, the demons that hate you believe in God. They know their ultimate end. So, you know, you're in good company with the demons because they both believe in God, because you and them believe in God. So the demons know what's going on, and they have, in a way, they have an advantage over some people, because the demons know lots about God and lots about his kingdom. So we need to learn more about God's kingdom, right? 1 Peter 5:8. This is another foundational one. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your devil prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So, Reverend Lovejoy, you can't go home and drink your scotch and watch your garbage on television and smoke your cigar, because you're not being sober-minded. Alcohol does not lead to sober-mindedness, I know. Start over here. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist the devil, be firm in your faith, knowing the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I was honored to live with Emmett for a week or two, and I saw the suffering that he went through. And that was very precious for me, because I understand, you know, when I, the viner trials I go through, which are nothing compared to Emmett's, of course, nothing compared to Jesus, I see other people that do it, and I understand the hardship. So this is important. When you're going through something, you're coming against the enemy. You know, I know this is not exactly the time that you think about it, but just remember, lots of other people are going through this, and this deliverance training, is that what it's called on Facebook? Deliverance training? Whatever I said before, I believe it's called deliverance training. They talk a lot about that. They talk about what they go through, and that's very helpful. They're hardcore people in that group. They're not just casual Christians. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, let us not then sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. Some of the best prayers and best praying that I do is 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Yes, it's quiet. Yes, there is, you know, less distractions, but there's something about the 2 and 3 a.m. prayers. And there's a number of sermons on the internet about that. Listen to them, and take what you can. And if you don't get all caught up in who's preaching the sermon. You may not agree with the person's, you know, denomination. Just listen to the sermon itself. I got something out of Creflo Dollar one time. I mean, you know, I don't listen to the man anymore. You know, I don't have anything for him or against him. But, you can listen to the message. Don't get so caught up in the messenger. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. And Brother Emmett talked about this when he let off the program about the Democrats, the Republicans, Joe Biden, other people that have been in political office. You know, they're basically controlled by the lawless one. I really don't see how a real Christian could even be in high political office. They got to lie all the time, and they got to be around a bunch of all other liars. So, you know, they're controlled by a power they don't even understand, and I don't see it getting better. I don't see it getting better. When you get in the war and you'll be thrown around, you got to cast your cares on the Lord. You've got to know that although he doesn't talk to you he didn't talk to me as often as I'd like, your cares can be cast on him. He took that burden for you. Why are you taking the burden? Why are you doing it? He's not ignorant of the burden that you have. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Speak to him. Talk to him. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tonight, before the service, I was, worshiping the Lord, saying glory, 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 holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. That's what the four-winged many-eyed cherubs are saying 24 hours a day. Why shouldn't I say it? Tell him how wonderful he is. Rodriguez had a beautiful testimony tonight. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how powerful he is. Tell him, thank him all he's done for you. This is really what communion teaches us. Are you taking your communion? Are you? 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. If you read it carefully, 1 Corinthians 11:23-25. If you read it carefully, it says, do this in remembrance of me. Basically, Jesus is saying, think about me. He wants fellowship. What did God want in the garden? Did God want Adam and Eve's input on how to run the universe or how to make the trees grow? No. He wanted fellowship, and he wants fellowship with you. He wants fellowship with me. So tell God, you don't have to have special Bible language, although that could be helpful, I suppose. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how thank you that you saved He saved your children, and he protects your children. I remember I would do this for hours, just thanking him all day long that he protected my child, because my child almost got taken out one time by the enemy. That's another story. There's a lot of temptations in the world. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may not endure it. No matter what you're going through, you can get out of it. I have kicked the porn habit, praise Jesus, and I'm beyond that. But for many, many years, it tempted me and drew me back in. You might have to get rid of your computer for a while. You might have to have blocking software. But any temptation that comes, and temptation to talk bad about people, temptation to complain, grumble and complain. God hates grumbling and complaining. He hates it. Did Jesus grumble and complain when he went for you on the cross? No. Why should you complain about your, I don't know, whatever it is, your stubbed toe or your dent in your car, or all the minor stuff doesn't really mean anything. I want to go back, anybody that may have just come in, I want to go back to the foundational scriptures. It's Mark 16:17, Jesus Christ himself speaking. Those who follow me cast out demons, speak in new tongues. How much clearer could he have made it? If you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to follow Jesus Christ, he expects you to cast out demons, speak in new tongues. John 14:21, if you love me, keep my commandments. You have things that God, Jesus, expects you to do. And that just not go park your rear at First Church of the Frozen Chosen and sit there, maybe raise your hands, and sing a little, throw a couple bucks in the collection plate. No, tithing is biblical, yes, but you are expected. Jesus expects you to cast out demons, speak in new tongues, and Jesus will be judging you. That's John 5:22. I think I'll go there right now. Am I right about that, Lord? Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Yeah, John 5:22. For the Father, that means God, judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. So you will meet Jesus again. You'll meet him. You'll meet him at the judgment. There's a certain beauty of deliverance that I don't really quite know how to explain, but it's such a beautiful thing to see someone get delivered. And Brother Emmett can talk a lot more about that. I don't expect him to grab the mic, but I sort of got off on a tangent there. I want to go to Matthew 12:35. Is this the right scripture? Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. 12:45. Okay, I want to start in Matthew 12:43. This is a warning to people undergoing deliverance and people doing deliverance. And anyone that I do deliverance on, or I plan to in the future anyway, I may have not have done this every time in the past, I'm going to warn them because this is extremely important because this happened to me. Matthew 12:43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, findeth none. When the unclean spirit, that's a demon. The Bible calls unclean spirits demons. We call them demons. Unclean spirit, same thing. It says he walketh through dry places. Sure looks like that all demons are male. Don't get caught up in that, but food for thought. He walketh through dry places. This is the spiritual places he walks through. If you could see in the spirit world, you'd see these dry places. In these dry places, he's seeking rest, and he doesn't find any, okay? So he wants to rest, and where he gets rest, these demons get rest in your body. Okay, Matthew 12, now I'm dropping to 44. Then he saith, this is a demon speaking, demons do speak. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And whence he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. So he got cast out. He got pitched into dry places. To me, it's not biblical to send demons to hell. You don't have the authority to send them hell. You either send them to the feet of Jesus or you send them to dry places. But in Matthew 12:44, he says he got kicked out of his house, which is your body, or the body of the person that he was in. And then he came back, and he found it swept and garnished. So it's all nice now because it's cleaned up. And then if you sin again, if you go back into sin, or you open the door to a worse sin or the same sin, Then he goeth and taketh with himself seven other more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last day of the man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be until this wicked generation. So what these scriptures are saying is when you get something cast out, you've got to get rid of that sin. You've got to lay it down, whatever it is, because if you don't, seven more wicked are going to come back. And I had that happen to me. It is real. It absolutely happens. That doesn't mean you become a perfect person. That doesn't mean you never slip. That doesn't mean you never sin. But the second you sin, you repent of it and turn away from it. This is a huge warning. If you're not prepared to give up whatever it is that's causing you the problems, you shouldn't go through deliverance. If you're not prepared to give up porn or whatever it is, you shouldn't go through deliverance. And I wish more people understood that before they come for deliverance. Jump into another scripture here, 1 Corinthians 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. So sounds like you got to do something. Sounds like you got to be in a fight, battle, war, whatever you want to call it. Take hold of eternal life, which you were called about, which you made good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So fight the fight. Be armed for the battle. And you get armed through the battle, through the word, praying in tongues, studying what Jesus did, studying deliverance ministers. You know, Brother Emmett does a lot of, you know, he has so many resources and sermons that he's done. If you spent the next couple of years there, you would never run out of information or revelation. One of the main things that Brother Emmett taught me is not working, not extensively working through my mind. In other words, hearing God through my spirit. And I'm still working on it. Sometimes when I cast out of myself, I know what the problem is, and I just say the function, like, Spirit's causing pain in my back, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Spirit's other pain in my back, I cast you out in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fire burn down deep in my back. I burn down deep in my back, burn out everything in common with back pain. So I wasn't necessarily in the spirit on that because I knew what I needed to do. So there's some things you use your mind for your job, for your cooking or whatever. When you're seeking when any time Jesus was seeking a communication with the Father, it was always through the Spirit. It was never through his mind. And Brother Emmett has done a sermon recently on Facebook that I really enjoyed. I got a whole page of notes on it. And he has an old sermon that I had to find on Blog Talk, which I was able to find it. Brother John was in that sermon. And that was about, you know, not using your mind to seek God. So the newer one is on Facebook, Live Deliverance on Facebook. He's done a sermon. It was just a couple of weeks ago, so it's not that old, really. It'd be probably pretty easy to find it. If you got any big problem with that, you can message me on Facebook. I'm Chrise, first name Chris, Chrise, last name Paule on Facebook. You can Facebook Messenger me there, and I'll do my best to find the sermon for you, because to me it was absolutely a turning point in my life to understand that. And this is really what Ephesians 6:18 is telling you. Ephesians 6:18, when it says, Ephesians 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. When I read that, and I read that many times, I just thought, how in the world can I pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit? How can I pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit? And how you do it is you do it in tongues. I drive my car speaking in tongues. When Walmart shopping, I speak in tongues. When I'm cooking, I speak in tongues. And that's what building up my spirit man is allowing me to have the somewhat modest success I do in deliverance. Now it's all the Lord's power. But yes, I do my part to build myself up. I just don't show up and read some prayers. There are some deliverance ministers on the internet that's basically what they do. They may mean well, and they may have a quote ministry for deliverance, but if all they do is read prayers and they don't operate in the Holy Spirit, they're battling the enemy with one hand tied behind their back. They're not as effective nearly as someone who's led by the Spirit. And they may mean well, but they also may lead people astray. So it's kind of dangerous. There's caution if you follow that. So talking about the Spirit, this is Galatians 5, verse 17. Galatians 5, verse 17. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, and to keep you from doing the things that I need and want to do. So here again, if I'm wanting to seek God in my flesh or through my mind, opposing the Spirit, it's not shutting down, but it's just not aiding the Spirit as I would like to speak to the Lord. So once again, if you're just joining, welcome you. I have Deliverance here on Blog Talk, and I want to just give you some simple stuff. Like if you have anger, say, Lord, forgive me all my sins, known or unknown. Forgive me sins in thought, word, or deed, Lord. Forgive me sins in omission or commission. I bind all the spirits in my body in the name of Jesus. Spirits of anger, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits causing anger, come out in Jesus' name. Spirits causing anger through a generational curse, come out in Jesus' name. Any way that you can think or understand where anger came into you, I'll give you personal testimony. I had a family member die of a heart problem, and I was pretty sure I had heart issues. Well, I prayed about it, didn't really hear much. But what I did is I got a book from a man named David Middleton, who's a deliverance minister, and I started going through all the heart curses, all the curses that can be put on the heart, all the curses where all the areas of the heart where curses can reside, where spirits can reside. And I did that time after, I don't know how many times, and I could feel them coming out. I cough, sigh, burp, belch, and they came out, man. Praise the Lord. I had a man who used to live next door to me, and he knew he had heart problems. He told me he had, heart problems come down the line, and I explained all this to him. I gave him a Bible. I prayed with him. I did cast out sessions on his heart. He was getting deliverance. He felt them coming out. He knew they were coming out. He understood. He got it. He moved, saw him months later, said, how you doing with that? Oh, I stopped. He stopped. Yeah, I don't do it anymore. Why'd you stop? I just don't want to do it anymore. So he made a very foolish decision. I didn't say he was a fool. But he made a very foolish decision to stop a process that he saw work start. He saw it started working. He stopped doing it. I mean, how crazy. So it works. If you stick with it, I want to say also that it's a process. When sometimes when you read the Bible, like the guardian demoniac, Jesus rolls up on the guardian demoniac. Of course, Jesus, was the OG of OGs when it came to deliverance minister. And the guardian demoniac looked him up and down and said, what hast thou to do with me, Son of the Most High? The guardian demoniac was saying, hey, man, I've never seen a person like you. And that demon had been many other people before. The demon was saying, I've never seen someone like you. And Jesus cast that demon out of the guardian demoniac. The guardian, that's the famous story where the demons went to the pigs, and the pigs lost their mind and went and killed themselves in the water. And then later, that man was healed and in his right mind. So not only did he get the demons cast out, but he was physically healed. And people read that. I did. And I thought, well, I just found the right deliverance minister. He cast out, or she, ladies can be deliverance ministers. Absolutely. They cast out. Boom. I'm all set. Now, you, first of all, you ain't Jesus. Neither am I. Second of all, I think that may have been a one-off thing. I don't know. But don't get the idea that you just find the right deliverance minister and it's one shot and then that's it. I think one reason it worked with the guardian demoniac is because we have so many more spirits that came in through our family lines and all the garbage that comes in through us through television, radio, internet, that we have so many more spirits than somebody that lived in a very simple time of Jesus. So in many ways, I don't want to, this is a bold statement, and Lord, if this is a sin, forgive me, but I think that in some ways the disciples and Jesus may have had a more, I don't want to say an easier time, but they may have a more simpler time to cast demons out because the people didn't have so many generations of spirits built up in their body. So I just want to caution people, it's not a one-shot deal, and it's not an optional thing. You can't say, well, you know, I don't think I have any, and you know, I'm good to go. I'll go to the First Church of the Frozen Chosen, and Reverend Lovejoy assured me at own, and I'm okay. No, completely wrong. Reverend Lovejoy needs to repent, and you need to realize that Mark 16:17 applies to you. Those who follow me, Jesus speaking, those who follow me, cast out demons, speak in new tongues. I think I've covered it pretty well. Brother John, you on the line, you got anything to add? Or Brother Rodriguez, Brother Emmett,
okay,
anything?
Yeah,
should,
sure, you hit it right on head. Brother Paul, if anybody know about self-deliverance, I've been knowing Brother Paul for 14 years. And when we do deliverance, he's able to help us, me and Sister Durian, it's more easier. We know him. And when self-deliverance is very effective, he hit everything on point. Deliverance is a very, very effective because so many people we have, I have to teach people about self-deliverance because there's a lot of people out here and I just can't do everybody. But he hit it right on head. Everything he said, he hit it right on head. I got blessed tonight. Brother Paul, thank you. You gave me an opportunity to do 4 deliverances in that time span. I thank you. It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a lot on me, and I'm going to say this here. When you are in this ministry, you have to rest. You got to eat right. You got to be aware.
Yeah.
You have to eat and rest. You have to eat right because doing deliverance is hard on your body, mentally, spiritually. You're dealing with a force that you can't see that you have to depend on. Everything you do got to depend on faith on Christ. You have to die to yourself. I find myself, after I get through doing deliverance, read the Bible, I'm always going to bed with Derek Prince every night. And every night I'm constantly getting revelation. So can't no one tell me that one sermon is old and nothing in it because the Lord's word is alive. And as I was hearing Derek Prince, God gave me time. I was listening to Derek Prince. I had closed my eyes, and I saw a lot of stuff that I didn't want to see. And he was showing me glimpses of the end time when people had to depend on the Holy Spirit to go get something to eat because of the mark of the beast. He was showing me errors of that.
He was showing me errors of that.
For Christians. People being beheaded in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
For him.
Whoa.
I'm hearing feedback. I'm hearing feedback. Okay. Pastor White, you're in Jamaica? That's why. Those who are in Wagwan, man. I said that's not my man. Yeah, man. But go to the city in Jamaica. Please turn off the Alice live, man. Here? Yeah, man. Turn off the volume down, those in Jamaica that can hear me in English. But I said it in Patrick, so we're good? Yes. Okay, we're good. All right. Okay. But I was get your rest. You have to get a lot of rest, and you have to stay in the Word with this ministry because everything you do depends on the Word that you have. The Word of God is the only effective means to deal with demons. I've been persecuted. I get people get mad at me. I get death threats. I still stand. Powerful ministry. The devil know that is powerful. He's afraid of this ministry. He's afraid of this one. because we are constantly exposing him. Anytime you expose sin, unrighteousness, and unfairly, you're exposing the devil. I pray that you continue to come in this room for beginners, because Brother Paul knows a lot about self-deliverance, a lot, more than me. That's why he's in
here.
Brother Paul, you just done more self-deliverance. I listen to Durden do it on me a lot. I don't do it. You know, every Friday I'm talking to Durden. Every Friday I get deliverance. I go through deliverance every Friday. I mean, I got it at my disposal. And make sure the Lord told me to share this for some people. I got it at my disposal because I know Sister Durden every Friday night. If I got a problem, I can call her and say, cast this out of me. Everybody don't have that privilege. I thank the Lord for that. But I will say this here. Find someone that you can trust. I trust Rodriguez. I trust Brother John. I trust Brother Paul. Everybody in this room, I know. I trust. I'm in one accord. Everybody in this room. When you confess your faults to people, make sure you be careful who you confess your faults to. Dr. Tillmanson, someone said, Brother, I don't even know you. There's someone in your church. The Lord has sent me to tell this man, God has forgiven you for your sin. Don't go tell your wife you committed no adultery, because she's not going to forgive you. She's going to hold it against your neck. Hang on. The Lord, Tim, moving on. Brother John.
Yes.
Can you talk to this man? This is Pastor Tillmanson. The Lord forgave him for sin 5 years ago. Tell me he got to go tell his wife. Would you please tell him what would happen to him? We've seen this at the hospital. Please listen. This is an experienced chaplain.
No, you don't want to do that. We came across a lot of women who was cheated on by their husbands. And even though they sit there and he's, baby, I'm sorry, and I'm not going to do it again, and so on, so on, so on, so on. I hear you. And the next thing you know, she's out there hoeing around. And every time you turn around, she said, I'm gonna get even with him. And we had women in the hospital who confessed us that they got pregnant from another man, or they got some venereal disease because they was getting back at their husband because their husband cheated on them, and they loved the husband so much they didn't think he would do something like that to her. And even though she may stand there and tell me, I forgive you, man, that guy got a whole bunch of future problems. Ain't no way.
We've seen it too many times.
No.
I saw it.
And besides,
that's one thing
not,
I saw.
She's not the Messiah. She's not Jesus. You ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. And don't confess it to her. Confess it to God. And God forgive you. Now, he can see you now. He can see you 20 years from now. But when you go to him to confess your sins, you got to be sure that you're really real about sorry. Not because, you know, some other situation. But go to God.
Right.
He's the dad on that cross for your sins, not her.
Yes,
right.
You know, don't tell her because, man, that girl, huh? That, many of them persons that they can never forgive him for doing that, you know, these kinds of things. So,
I heard it myself.
God.
That's right. That's what, and another thing, too, the Lord's moving on my heart. You don't have to tell everybody about your sins. But I got to tell her everything. No, some things some people don't need to know. Only you and God needs to know. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. Amen. So, brother, please don't go calling your wife. Don't do that, man. That's the spirit of condemnation coming on you. Don't be, because that was happened 5 years ago. The devil trying to get you to tell her to plant that in her heart, man. Y'all be real careful with that. Pastor Rodriguez Baker, you got anything to say? Field Artillery, United States Army. Field Artillery, United States Army. Field Artillery, U.S. Army.
I also want to piggyback off of what Brother Paul was talking about with the self-deliverance, how important it is, because I've learned that as Christians, especially Christians today, we tend to get lazy, spiritual laziness. We always want to look for the pastor to do everything for us. And that's the point of us studying and learning. It's not to just sit idle on the pastor, but it's to grow. It's to grow. I remember one time I was telling you, Pastor, this last week,
Rodriguez, can you come closer to the phone? Can you come closer to the phone? You're echoing.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clear now. Go ahead.
Yes, I remember when I piggyback off what Brother Paul was saying about the self-deliverance, how important that is as a Christian, because we tend to get spiritually lazy, and we tend to look for the pastor to do everything for us. You know, I had to learn that as a believer, we have the power to do everything that Christ has the power to do, just as much as the pastor. We have to grow and that growing the gift, growing that authority. I remember a particular situation a couple months ago. I had a dog, a big German Shepherd. He was just a puppy, and my daughter, my youngest daughter, was terrified of him. I mean, she was like terrified of a puppy. The puppy, she would like literally show manifestation of straight fear. So, you know, one day it was getting to me. It was getting to my flesh while I was getting mad at her. But, you know, one day, you know, the Lord spoke to me. He said, do what I've been teaching you. Do it by faith. So one day I just pulled my daughter to the side and I said, listen, we're going to pray against this spirit. We're going to bind this spirit. And as I command the spirit to come out, you just blow. I was doing everything that I was taught. So I command that spirit of fear to come out. The spirit of fear, dogs, fear. To come out, she started yawning instantly, and then I started having her to quote the scriptures that God did not give a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. And I kid you not, the next day she was fear free. She was hugging the dog, playing with the dog, doing everything that she wasn't even doing. She to the point where she was getting on the dog's nerves. So that was just a testimony that you know that now we have to do things ourselves. We don't have to always look for the pastor to do everything for us. You know, we have the Holy Spirit too to lead us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm listening. I'm watching the tape. Dr. Donnell Harbison at Lincoln University. Yes, sir. Okay, he wants to know the manifestation fruits of the spirit of the familiar spirits, the assignments of the familiar spirit. The assignment in the world, you want to know that, sir? And the definition, okay. The manifestation fruit of the familiar spirit for questions answered, then we're going to get ready to leave. Familiar spirits are in charge of passing down every evil demon, genetic disease, evil inheritance of every unrepentant person in the bloodline. The sin is visited down into the third and to the fourth generation. Now, the familiar spirit that operate in wizardry or in black magic or in witchcraft or conjums are in a higher dominion than these spirits, the familiar spirit that operate in Christians. Their assignment is to visit the curse, familiar spirits, the sins of the fathers, familiar spirits, unholy personal traits of the family line. Then you know that familiar spirits in that bloodline, inheritance, sicknesses, diseases, evil habits, and tendencies. Their assignment in the spirit world is to work in the family bloodline, to turn the family members from a path of righteousness into the devil, into evil works. The Bible dictionary definition of familiar spirit is a demon present in the physical body of the conjurer, a man or a woman. The term familiar is used to describe the demon because it was regarded by the English translation as a servant belonging to a family who was on terms with the family, passing this curse parallel to generation to generation to generation. Parted brethren, it will die. If the person died, the familiar spirit will come out that body and go into another human being. That's right. The familiar spirit, when a person dies with a familiar spirit in the bloodline, it will go get in any object or any physical door of a human being and a Christian, especially Christians who don't speak in tongues. They are really susceptible to a lot of demons. It is known, in fact, that before a member of the family who's had the familiar spirit dies, he or she decides just which family member is to receive the familiar spirit. This is called receiving the veil or mantle. If anybody ever heard that, that means that the family, the mother, someone knows that there's a familiar spirit, and she's going to pass you a demon, thinking that you're getting a gift. Do not accept the mantle. It's a counterfeit of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I hope that answered your question, sir. All right, thank you. Familiar spirit is an evil, a family spirit who has managed to gain access to the bloodline. Did that answer your question, sir? Thank you. Do you want scriptures about the familiar spirit? Sure. Leviticus 19:31, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, Deuteronomy 5, verse 9, Leviticus 20:27, Deuteronomy 18:10, 1 Samuel 23:8. You need any more? All right. Okay. All right, I can do that for you too. And then we'll close. Let's go to Leviticus 19:31 again. Leviticus 20:6. Leviticus 20:27. Deuteronomy 18:11. 1 Samuel 28:3. 1 Samuel 28:9. 2 Kings 21:6. 2 Kings 23:24. Isaiah 8:19. Isaiah 29:4. Isaiah 19:3, and 1 Chronicles 10:13, and Isaiah 8:19. Those are all the scriptures in the Bible concerning familiar spirit. Brother Paul, thank you again for joining this radio station, Brother Paul. We're going to see Brother Paul every Wednesday. That gives me a chance to get caught up on deliverance. Pastor Rodrigo Baker is on staff also. We also have Chaplain John Durden, and he's right now is on a sabbatical, resting, getting deliverance, training, learning. He will be back in here with us. I thank all my brothers and sisters. I thank Dr. Patterson, Dr. Leroy Montgomery, Dr. Kilmore, Reverend Donnelly. I also want to let everybody know that I did a conference with the University of Georgia on Zoom and dealt with some students doing a teaching on demonology. That was very successful today. And I'm going to close with those hearing the sounds of demons. I was doing an exorcism in
Brother, Brother, I want to say one thing. I think this is for somebody in Jamaica that their name starts with J, but I'm not completely sure about this, but in a way it doesn't matter. One of the things I learned from Brother Emmett, who when I first knew him, I thought this was strange, but now I understand why it's not strange, is that when something attempts to come on you, you immediately come against it. I don't care if you're standing in church, doctor's office, the line at Walmart, it doesn't matter. I have something that is a recurring problem in my life. It doesn't matter what it is. Whenever it tries to come on me, I immediately battle against it. This does a couple of things. One is it lets the enemy know I'm on point. I ain't putting up with this crap. The other is I got to do it anyway because I'm not going to not do it. And it shows for me in my particular situation, it shows my kid that, hey, we get on this stuff. When, oh, woe is me, you know, my back, whatever it is, my back hurts, my foot hurts. No, no, no. You immediately speak against that. And as you become more spiritually led, you'll be able to do it easier as well. So I think Rodriguez talked about this a little bit with his daughter. You know, he came against it. You don't wait around. You don't, okay, I got to go get my Bible and say the perfect thing, whatever. No, spirit's causing pain. I cash out in Jesus' name. I'll give you an example. It's hiccups. Hiccups are a demon. I don't care what anybody says. They're a demon, and they try to come on. I used to have them for hours. I used to have them every, they would last days.
Wow.
And,
wow.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
know
that. Yeah. So now I come against them when they start and they stop immediately. You know, and if I don't come against them immediately, guess what? They get a foothold and they take longer and longer and longer to get out. I yield the mic. Praise Jesus.
Amen. Amen. See it. Brother Rodriguez, you want to share something? Chaplain Durden, before I close, we'll open the lines to the pastors that helped me out. Anybody want to say something? You got the mic.
Yes, Brother John here. I found the night teaching very interesting, you know, because I'm in the process of trying to learn self-deliverance and everything else. And just so happened, I am happy I have John Eckhart book in front of me and talk about the title of the chapter called Shake Yourself Free and identify all these different kinds of things that a man can have and have specific prayers to address that concern. You know, like, for an example, shake yourself free from the past. Shake yourself free from a sexual perversion. Shake yourself free from occult bondage. Shake yourself free from mental attacks and from sexual perversion, from evil inheritance, from rejections and so forth. It's a darn good book, and there's a whole chapter on, got specific prayers for each one of those things that you want to be delivered from.
Oh, praise the Lord.
It's called Shake Yourself Free, and then it identifies all those things. And with specific prayers regarding that specific problem that you have or possession that you have.
Yes, sir. I can definitely co-sign for that book, the John Eckhart book. I've been having that book for a while. It's a book that I I use when I'm doing self deliverance, when I pray with my family, with my children, my wife. It's very effective. It's very knowledgeable as well. So I definitely told someone to that with Brother John and Brother Paul was talking about.
Oh, I got a testimony. I'm gonna say this to you. Pastor Rodriguez, I was at his house. When I was at your house, Rodriguez?
Last Wednesday, a week ago.
Share about Michael King.
Oh yeah, that Michael King. You know, when I get around Pastor, you know, he like to watch movies about demons and deliverance. And of course, it's always knowledge for me. That movie is very, very on point. It's about a guy who was angry at God. He didn't believe the spirit realm, so he wanted to test. Instead of testing Jesus Christ, he wanted to test Satan. And boy, did
he got into some heavy stuff.
So I advise you to. I wouldn't say anybody to watch it, but you know, if you're heavy in the Word and you know, and God give you the peace to watch it. Definitely to watch. I wouldn't encourage your kids to watch it or your wife to watch it if they're not heavily founded, have a foundation in the Word. But you should definitely check it out. Called Michael King. Michael King.
What would that be watching on, Rodriguez? Tuba? What was the name of that movie channel?
It was on Tuba because I have a Roku TV, but you can type it in, you can find it, it'll come up.
Tuba.
I suggest that movie called Michael King and a movie called American Satan. American Satan is about how the demonic influences the music world.
Hey,
Rodriguez, I got some young people, some young Jamaican teenagers. Y'all need to listen to this. Nas X, talk to them, Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, that little Nas X. If you're a fan of him, I advise you to get free from that. That boy carries a heavy spirit of satanic. He's very bold. He's very blatant with his homosexuality and breaks his Satan, making satanic shoes. He has millions and millions of fans. He's young, a lot of young people. I advise you, parents, to be aware of what your children are watching and listening to. That's what I do. My children, I don't let them watch and listen to anything. Matter of fact, my kids not even know how to watch TV during the week. On the school day, but that movie is very, very. I mean, that guy is very demonic. He's very, very popular. So I just really advise parents to really be aware. You know, just like we protect their physical. You know, the Lord taught me that now that you're a father, you are responsible for protecting them spiritually as well, because children are vulnerable. They don't know. They're just gonna soak in entertainment, and the devil knows that. So
Rodriguez. That lady said, Little Nod, yes, ma'am, and her child's watching it. Get your child, stop your child from watching that homosexual stuff.
Yeah, don't watch this stuff, man. It's
don't have him to watch that. Your child, don't have your child watching that mess. That guy's straight up Satanist.
Satan, man. He's very popular, especially the black community. We've got to be careful. Remember, the eyes and the ears are the base of our soul, and that's how spirits get in. So, you know, we tend to grow up thinking that we just get involved with satanic stuff, do rock music and people who wear black fingernails and gothics and stuff like that. And you're fooled if you believe that.
That's right. I want to make everybody, before I go, make an announcement. Rodriguez, are me and you still going to do that thing on the 31st of December for New Year's?
Oh yeah, most definitely. We're bringing out the big one.
Everybody, we're gonna celebrate the new year with an AK-47 live rounds, AR-15, 40 calibers, assault guns, shotguns, 9mm, AK-47. I got a friend of mine, yeah. Big Dog, got a 50 caliber. He's gonna bring a 50 caliber live round. We're gonna bring some thunder on this New Year's Eve, live on our Facebook site. We're bringing in the new year with praise and worship, and we're going to light it up for about 5 minutes. We're using live rounds. We did it one time a year ago. We praised the Lord. We had a lot of people to enjoy it. We'll let you see the live rounds. You'll see an AK-47 with about 170-something rounds, AR-15, 40 cal, from shotgun, 50 cal. Oh, man, you're going to see about four or five choppers, because I got three or four of my friends going to be coming with some choppers. A chopper is an AK-47.
I'm a big believer in two weapons. The Bible is my spiritual weapon, and my guns are physical weapons. Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. Amen. Don't get it twisted. I'm a believer in a man of God, too, and I also believe in my weapon spiritually and my physical weapon, and both. I got two weapons. I believe in both. God bless everybody. I want everybody to hear this before I leave. This is Jermaine Edwards. Peace in my soul. God bless you. Have peace in your soul. Don't forget to continue to support us here at Live Lives Internet Radio. I want to thank Pastor Rodriguez Baker on staff. Pastor John Jordan, assist me and help me out. God bless. Brother Paul, staff member, a good man of God. Thank Brother Paul for blessing me with four refurbished computers. I'm streaming on it right now. I got two already going to Jamaica, one going to a church in Jamaica where we can stream. Don't forget to listen to us also, Pastor Earl White, a deliverance ministry out of Mapin, Jamaica, a good man of God, Sister White, who's a musician. They have live deliverance streaming on Facebook. We stream live in Mapin, Jamaica. God bless. Peace in my soul. Jermaine Edwards, Spanish Town. Wagwan.
Oh, oh, oh. Hey, hey, you.
Get out of here. Mexico. Let me see that. Let me see a man. Can I come to Jamaica? Wagwan, man.
Jermaine.
In your will, that's my strength when I'm with you. Just can't stop getting closer to you. With my mind now renewed and conformed to the image of you, there's a peace running deep from my soul. My spirit bear witness that I'm a child of a king, and I'm sorry I just can't walk the way I used to. There's the thing I used to do, I just can't do them no more. There's a peace running deep from my soul.
open doors. No stress for tomorrow. Enemies fight me, but we got a victory. Won't fear no evil, cause God is with me. Yeah. Thank God for help. Everything may not be well, but I have good friends and a roof over my head. Unconditional. That's how God loves me. I will fear no evil, cause God is with me.
Now to say thank you, O King. I come just now to say thank you, O King. I come just now to say thank you, O King. I come just now to say thank you, O King. You're not just a part of my life, but my everything.
Hey, go ahead, babe. Don't
your
get my meal tomorrow,
love reaches here. Way down deep within.
Pick up the
past is human understanding.
Right?
There will always be a song for you. I'll sing. One word alone just can't express my heart's desire. Gratitude for one more day my needs supply. Your warm embrace and tenderness, patience with me through all my mess. There comes
to one conclusion. You are the best.
Radio Ministries, I want to thank everyone who has participated in this seminar on deliverance. God bless us. You are listening to www.livedeliveranceinternetradio. We still have 747 people still streaming and listening to us. God bless and shalom to all and every last one of you. Staff members and to Apostle Candace Durden, assistant and assistant pastor at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. Sister Ruthie Rami, information officer out of Israel. Chaplain John Durden assists us and helps us. Pastor Rodriguez Baker, Brother Chris Paul, Sister Sheila Newborn, my secretary out of Baltimore, Maryland. God bless you here at Live Deliverance Internet Radio. Shalom. Jesus is Lord. Good night.